الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين أما بعد. So we continue reading the treatise of the great Imam, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. The short treatise, it is short in its context, its wording, but it is great in its meaning and benefit. Al-Usul Al-Sitta. Al-Usul Al-Sitta. The six principles. In our previous class, we have discussed some of the issues with regards to Al-Asl Al-Awwal. Al-Aslu Al-Awwal. Who can remind us of the first principle? Al-Ikhlas. Naam, Al-Ikhlas. إخلاصُ الدِّينِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ and وَبَيَانُ ضِدِّهِ الَّذِي هُوَ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ and the clarification of the opposite of that, which is to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. So the first fundamental principle that the author mentioned, it is the fundamental of all fundamentals, or the foundation of all foundations, the foundation of all fundamentals. It is the base of the deen. It is what the deen is based upon, and if anyone has any other deed in this religion, whether it's speech or statement, without this first fundamental principle, then nothing will be accepted from him. أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ Verily, the religion is purely and sincerely entirely for Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, likewise, he mentioned, and this is where we left off in our discussion, وَكَوْنُ أَكْثَرُ الْقُرْآنِ وَكَوْنُ أَكْثَرِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي بَيَانِ هَذَا الْأَصْلِ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ شَتَّى And the reality that the majority of the Qur'an is in the clarification of this principle for many aspects. Who can remind us of some of the benefits with regards to this portion of the text? He says, the author, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, that the majority of the Qur'an is in the clarification of this principle for many aspects. Rather, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that the entire Qur'an is in the clarification of Tawheed. The entire Qur'an, from Al-Fatiha to An-Nas. He mentioned every single verse is containing Tawheed, and is calling to Tawheed, and is a testification to Tawheed. Every single verse in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Who can remember how this will be? He mentioned, because the Qur'an, the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ayat, they're discussing His names and attributes, Ahsant, Allah Yubarak Fik. The names and attributes, the clarification of who Allah is, this is directly Tawheed. The Tawheed of Allah by learning His names and His attributes and His power and His might and His knowledge, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And His complete perfection and no need of anything, As-Samad, Al-Ahad, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He's teaching us about these things. In his book, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, talking about his actions. Likewise, the Qur'an is about
His commands and prohibitions.
There was a good point that Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned with regards to this, the commandments and prohibitions. That these are from, how are this related to Tawheed? Yani the relation of the commandments and the prohibitions to Tawheed. These are from the rights of Tawheed. And this is that which completes the Tawheed. That the one who falls short in the commandments, or he perpetrates or commits some of the prohibitions, this is because of a deficiency in his tawheed. This is because of a deficiency in the tawheed, in the ikhlas, in the Islam, in the iman. Because complying to the commandments and leaving off the prohibitions, this is from the rights of tawheed. And this is from that which will complete and perfect a person's tawheed. Ahsant. Likewise, the Qur'an speaks and discusses other issues like the reward of those who do good, and the outcome, which is the jaza' al-tawheed, the recompense of tawheed. Also the punishment of those who oppose tawheed. Naam, and this is the recompense for those who oppose tawheed. So in every aspect, or on all these different aspects, the Qur'an is clarifying tawheed, the reality of tawheed. Even the surah Al-Masad is about tawheed. It's a clarification of what happens to those who oppose tawheed, and their outcome and their destination, and that they will have humiliation in this life and in the hereafter. Every verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying this issue, calling to this issue. Al-Ikhlas, Ikhlasu dini lillahi ta'ala wahdahu la sharika lah. This is what the author mentioned. And then likewise, there are some other aspects from pondering over the Qur'an. We've seen that in other aspects, likewise, we can see that the Qur'an is calling to tawheed, and it's all about tawheed from every aspect.
And the Qur'an is supposed to be listened to by ears, and also most important by heart, so you can benefit his pleasure, and you can stay away from his prohibitions. So by hearing like what is prohibited.
Ahsant. Sahih. We ponder over the Qur'an and we listen attentively. And then we hear the tawheed and it sinks in our hearts and we benefit. Naam. Sahih. Jazakallah khairah. This was in the class in the other book. the benefits from Al-Imam Al-Ajurri. Naam. Ahsant. But it's a beautiful benefit. Jazakallah khairah. Jazakallah khairah. Naam. Who can remind us? If we open the Qur'an from the first page, we start reading, searching for the first commandment. What is the first commandment? The commandment for? Tawheed. What is the first prohibition? We begin in Fatiha, we start reading. What is the first thing Allah commanded? What is the first thing Allah prohibited? The first thing He commanded is to worship Him alone with no partners. The command was not to the Muslims, it was not to the believers, it was not to the people of the book, it was not to the disbelievers. Who was it to? All mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. Who was the Rabb? Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. This is another manner how Allah Azza wa Jal, He emphasizes and He uses as a proof for His tawheed. To worship your Lord. Who is the one who deserves worship? Your Lord. Why? Because He created you. Because He created you. The one who created you, that's the one that's worthy of worship. The one who created the sun, that's the one that's worthy of worship. The one who sends the rain from the sky and brings out the fruits and the vegetables by way of that rain for you, that's the one that's worthy of worship. Allah Azza wa Jalla, many different aspects. And then likewise, some of the ulama, they mentioned like the first verb in the Qur'an was the verb of ya'budu, na'budu, abada, ya'budu, u'bud, ibadatan, iyaka, na'budu. So from many different aspects, we see that the Qur'an is calling to tawheed, is clarifying tawheed. It is testifying to the right of tawheed and the obligation of tawheed. So how could they go astray? How could people be misguided? How could someone prostrate to a stone? How could someone call on someone in the grave? The answer goes back to the muqaddimah.
No guidance from
Allah. This is the indication of the power of the Malik al-Ghallab, that it can be this clear. But these people will still not be guided unless Allah wills. Unless Allah wills. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in every khutbah, whoever Allah guides, then none can lead him astray. وَمَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. Whoever Allah guides, then no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah has left to in misguidance, then no one can guide him. So this is the case. Even if it's that clear, this is an indication of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing happens in this kingdom except with His will and His permission. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so we continue reading from the text. We're still reading the Al-Asl Al-Awwal, and the next portion, the author, he mentioned, and he's mentioning the reality. After this clarification has come in the book and in the Sunnah, he said, ثُمَّ لَمَّ صَارَ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِ الْأُمَّةِ مَا صَارَ أَظْهَرَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ الْإِخْلَاصَ فِي سُورَةِ تَنَقُّسِ الصَّالِحِينَ والتقصير في حقوقهم وأظهر لهم الشرك بالله في سورة محبة الصالحين واتباعهم. وأظهر لهم الشرك بالله في سورة محبة الصالحين واتباعهم. واتباعهم. He mentioned, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he said, and then what happened to the majority of the ummah, or then when what happened to the majority of the ummah happened, shaitan portrayed sincerity, ikhlas, and worship to them in the form of finding fault with the righteous people and neglecting their rights. And he portrayed associating partners with Allah in worship as loving the righteous people and following them. As loving the righteous people and following them. The author, he is mentioning, and he says, وَلَمَّا صَارَ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِ الْأُمَّةِ مَا صَارَ. And what occurred to the majority of the ummah happened whenever this happened. What happened? And after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam began spreading. Islam began spreading, conquering nations. The Muslims conquered nations. The companions, radiallahu anhum, they conquered nations to the east and to the west. They conquered nations to the east and to the west. And many people entered into Islam. Many people entered into Islam willfully. And Islam spread. But there are some from the enemies of Islam who entered into Islam also, but not willfully. Rather, they entered because they wanted to corrupt Islam. And they wanted to maintain some worldly benefit, and then they had plots to corrupt Islam. They knew that they could not fight, and they could not defeat Islam outwardly, and they could not defeat the Muslims outwardly. They were strong whenever they were obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and following His religion and following His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were upright. Allah gave them victory. The enemies of Islam, they knew they could not destroy the Muslims from outside. So they tried to destroy Islam from inside by corrupting the creed of the Muslims, by corrupting the creed of the Muslims. So whenever Islam spread to the lands of the non-Arab, and many of them, they entered in Islam because of this reason. They were, and even some of them, they entered into Islam, but they brought along with them some of their ideologies, and they would mix the truth with the falsehood like this. So this is one of the things that happened. He's talking here. So whenever what happened to the majority of the ummah happened, and likewise another issue that happened is ignorance began spreading. Al-jahlu bil-munazzal. Ignorance with the revelation. Ignorance with regards to the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ignorance with regards to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ignorance with regards to what the companions were upon, the tabi'een were upon. The Muslims began diving in the dunya, and the dunya became widespread for them and very vast for them, and it was given to them, and the likes like this. So this is another means. Whenever ignorance spread, and the people of the sunnah, some of them were died off, or the ulama, and the knowledge is getting less, and then there's more people of ignorance, and then at this time shaitan, he's able to introduce his plots, and he's able to introduce his division. And the likes like this. So وَلَمَّا صَارَ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِ الْأُمَّةِ مَا صَارَ. He's talking about whenever ignorance became widespread. And likewise, one of the reasons that led to the situation that we see, likewise, is having al-ghulu fi الصَّالِحِينَ. And going to extremes with regards to the pious and the righteous people. So these are three major reasons that caused this deficiency in the ummah. The fact that the people tried to corrupt from inside, and then likewise the non-Arabs introduced these different religions from paganism and the likes like this, and these different philosophies translated to the Arabic language and introduced into the deen, and the likes like this, bringing different ideologies and different creeds and different beliefs, and some people trying to make the Muslims have doubt about their deen and the likes like this. And deviation began spreading from this aspect, and then ignorance became widespread amongst the people. And then likewise there was extremism with regards to love for the righteous. All of these reasons like this were a means for shaitan to be able to have this, and for this issue to be able to take hold, ignorance, and then the people, the Muslims, to be able, some of them, some of the ummah, to fall into shirk directly. Like shirk akbar, making dua to a grave, slaughtering for a grave, being afraid of the person in the grave, afraid of him that he might hear him, afraid of him that if he did not do something, they would swear. If he sweared by the wali, he would do it for sure. He would be afraid that if he didn't do it, the wali would take revenge on him, or harm him, or cause some harm to come to him like this. They have these beliefs, even till this day. There are people who have these beliefs in the graves and in the people in the graves and in the dead and what they call the wali or the awliya. And the likes like this. This is because what? Because of ignorance. The widespread of ignorance. So at this time, what did Shaytan do? He's mentioning, whenever what happened to the ummah or the majority of the ummah happened, you know, this widespread ignorance like this. He said, Shaytan portrayed sincerity, ikhlas, to the people in the form of finding fault with the righteous people. So it would be like the one who tells, no, you have to have sincerity, you can't call on the grave, you can't slaughter for the grave, you can't swear by the grave like this. Oh, you don't respect the righteous people. You have no love for the righteous people. You don't respect the awliya of Allah. Don't you know he was a righteous man? Allah loved him. He was pious. So Shaytan turned things around on them like this. They were not able to see clearly. They were not able to see clearly. Oh, he was righteous man. He was a righteous man. You and I were sinners. We have much sins. We have to go through them. I'm not worshipping them. I'm just taking them as an intercessor. They're closer to Allah than I am. They're more beloved to Allah like this. Shaytan, he made this shirk appear to them in this manner. Like righteous, like honoring them and respecting them and loving them. He decorated the falsehood like this. This is what occurred. And then he said here, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, likewise, and the ones who, and he made it, and if you didn't do that, like you didn't honor the grave, you didn't slaughter for the grave, you didn't swear by the grave, you didn't go and cry and beg for intercession from the one in the grave. Oh, he doesn't have respect for the awliya. He doesn't know the rights of the righteous people. He doesn't know the rights of this man. He was so pious and righteous. And they would say that he's finding fault with them. And the likes like this. So this is the means that Shaytan, he was able to introduce shirk into the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this particular issue, this issue is with regards to al-ghulu fi salihin. The same Imam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed, inshallah, that we'll be studying on Yawm al-Sabt, after Fajr. So he will discuss in more detail with regards to this issue. The issue with regards to the ghulu and the salihin, he has a whole chapter with regards to this. In Kitab al-Tawheed, inshallah, we will take a bit of a more detailed discussion at that time, inshaAllah. So we see that this is the case. Ikhlas is the foundation of the deen. And it's clarified in the Quran in every verse. And this is clear from many different aspects. Likewise, the clarification of shirk in every verse. And likewise, in the sunnah of the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cut off every door for shirk. Somebody said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, masha'Allah wa shitta. He said, aja'altani lillahi nidda. غضب صلى الله عليه وسلم قل بل قل ما شاء الله وحده. He said, somebody said to him صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whatever Allah wills and what you will. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم became angry. He said, have you made me a peer or a partner in worship with Allah? And he's sharing that I have some share in the will with Allah. He said, rather say whatever Allah wills alone. Whatever Allah wills alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many, many narrations, whenever just the means that would lead to major shirk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he closed the door. Man kana harifan falyahlif billahi aw liyaskut aw liyasmut. Whoever's going to swear, then let him swear by Allah or be silent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many narrations, he's cutting off every aspect and every door that would lead to shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Sunnah, in the Quran, we find that this is clarified. But whenever ignorance is widespread and whenever individual he is ignorant over the reality of something, especially ikhlas, al-tawheed, and especially shirk, then he is more likely to fall into it and not even know. And he is more likely to be affected by the trials and maybe he does not even know. Because of what? Because of ignorance of the Quran, because of ignorance of the Sunnah, because of ignorance of the way of the Salaf, truly. Truly. What they were upon. Truly the qawa'id that they were really upon. And that we see that's been transmitted in their works and in their books and in their narrations. The way that they were upon. The one that is ignorant with this, then he can be affected by the fitan. And he can be affected by the trials. And he can even be convinced that the falsehood is truth. And he can even blame the people of truth and find fault with them and speak ill about them. And he doesn't want to do that, but because of his ignorance and because of this deficiency in knowledge and in light, it has become so dark for him that he thinks the good is the bad and the bad is the good. And if you couple along with this sins, and if you couple along with this a bad intention, it becomes even worse. It becomes even worse. So the reality is that ignorance is a dangerous issue. And whenever ignorance is widespread, shaitan, he can take control and command with his plots. And likewise, the people of innovation, and likewise, the people of desire, and likewise, the people of disbelief, they have a great effect on the people of ignorance. On a person of ignorance, he can be easily duped, and they can pull the wool over his eyes, like they say, in this manner. So it's an indication, likewise, of the importance of learning. The importance of learning. Learning the religion of al-Islam, learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning the deen with evidences, learning the way of the salaf properly, step by step, little by little, until one has a firm foundation, he understands the reality. Then he's standing on something, he's standing on a solid foundation. Inshallah, he will have benefit in khayr. So the author now, he continues and he says, al-aslu al-thani. Al-aslu al-thani. أمر الله بالاجتماع في الدين ونهى عن التفرق فيه فبين الله هذا بيانا شافيا تفهمه العوام ونهانا أن نكون كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا قبلنا فهلكوا وذكر أنه أمر المسلمين بالاجتماع في الدين ونهاهم عن التفرق فيه ويزيده وضوحا ما وردت به السنة من العجب العجاب في ذلك ثم صار الأمر إلى أن الافتراق في أصول الدين وفروعه هو العلم والفقه في الدين وصار الأمر بالاجتماع في الدين لا يقوله إلا زنديق أو مجنون. He mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, he says, the second principle, excuse me, the second foundation, the second principle, Allah has commanded for unification in the religion and prohibited division. Allah has clarified this entirely so the layman may understand. He prohibited them from being like those who divided and differed before us and were destroyed. He mentioned that He has commanded the Muslims with unification in the religion and prohibited them from division. Additional clarity as well has come from the Sunnah, from the amazing affairs relating to this. Then the affair, this issue, became so that the division in the fundamentals of the religion and its subsidiary issues, this is considered knowledge and understanding of the religion. And the command for unity in the religion, no one would say this except a heretic or an insane person. Someone who is crazy. This is the issue. So the reality of the second principle, it is the principle is al-ijtima'. Al-amru bil-ijtima'. Wal-nahyu an-tafarruq wal-ikhtilaf. Al-ijtima'. Fi-d-deen. Al-ijtima'. في الدين والله عز وجل أيضا أمر بالاجتماع في الدنيا فالاجتماع يكون في أمرين الدين أولا والدنيا unification the second principle is about unification being unified being in one body one group unified in the religion الاجتماع unification in the religion the unification that we're commanded with is too the unification in the religion and likewise we're commanded to be unified in the dunya that's going to be clarified inshallah in the third principle الأمر بالسمع والطاعة لولي الأمر اجتماع في الدنيا ها اجتماع unification upon the leader unification in the society under one leader that's going to come in the third principle here in this principle here he's speaking about unification in the deen unification in the deen الاجتماع في الدين unification in the religion my noble brothers له طريق It has a way. There's a way to be unified in the deen. It's not left for us to decide how it's going to be unified or how we're going to be unified or how the Muslims can be unified. And the unification is not going to occur likewise from the unification of the bodies, get everybody in the same room. Rather, it's the unification of the hearts upon the proper creed and the unification of the understanding upon the proper methodology and manhaj upon the way of the Sahaba. This is the true unification that is required. Unification, it has a means, it has a way. The way, طريق الاجتماع في الدين هو الصراط المستقيم. الصراط المستقيم. The way to be unified in the religion is to be upon the straight path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. To be, the way to be united in the religion is only one way. To be upon the straight path. to be upon the straight path. This path, it has a sign. How can we know who's really on the straight path? هناك علامة. There's a sign that indicates those who are on the straight path. So the unification will only occur upon the straight path. Allah's straight path. And there's a sign that we can know who is on the straight path and who is not. And this sign, this alama, it is ittiba al-mun'ami alayhim. To follow those whom Allah has bestowed His grace upon. To follow those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put His blessings and favors upon. Who are they? Al-Nabiyun, Al-Siddiqun, Al-Shuhada, Al-Salihun. These are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace upon. So the one who is upon their way, in his creed, in his belief, the one who is upon their way with regards to their acts of worship, the one who is upon their way with regards to the way, their manners and their methodology, that they deal with the people, that they deal with the Muslims, that they deal with the deviant Muslims, that they deal with the non-Muslims, that they deal with their parents and their family, that they deal with transaction and likewise entirety of the whole deen, they're following them. An-Nabiyyin, Al-Siddiqeen, Al-Shuhada, Al-Salihin, then these are the ones that are on the straight path. And this is the sign that one is on the straight path. It's not a claim. It's not a claim. Everybody, it's easy to claim, well, I'm on the straight path. But what is the sign that someone is on the straight path? That he's following the prophets. At the head of the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he's following the Siddiqeen. Ahead of the Siddiqeen, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. That he's following the Shuhada. The head of the Shuhada, Hamza. Also, from the Khulafa al-Rashideen, Umar, Uthman. So then who do we have to follow then? What is the sign somebody is on the straight path? That they're on the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. That they're on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Was-salihin. Who are the salihin? All of the righteous people. After them, particularly from the companions and then from the students of the companions and the students of the companions. The ones that the texts have come, that Allah is pleased with them and pleased with their way. So then al-ijtima' fi al-deen yukunu al-ijtima' ala sirat al-mustaqim. Wa sirat al-mustaqim huwa ma kana alayhi an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabuhu radiyallahu anhum. This is the true unification in the religion. There's no unification except in this way. There's no unification except in this way. What is the call of these people? What is the call of the mun'am alayhim? What is their da'wah? Their da'wah is to this straight path. And their da'wah is to hold fast to this straight path. And their da'wah is to leave off everything that is in conflict with this straight path or in opposition to this straight path. Come be with us upon this straight path. Come be united upon this straight path. It's an obligation. Even Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned this in many, many verses in the Quran. The obligation to follow them. The obligation to follow their way in this straight path is the path that they were upon. Al-Ijtima' fi al-Din. Naam? Al-Ijtima' fi al-Din wa adam al-Tafarruq. To be united and to not be divided. What is the way to be united? To be upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to be upon the way of the companions and to be upon the way of those who follow them exactly until this day. This is the unification. And any other unification, it is a claim and there's no proof behind that. And rather it is division. Rather it is division. Their call was the call to the straight path. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called to the straight path. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a line one day for his companions like this. خَطَّ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَطَّ فِي حَدِيثِ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The Prophet drew a line for us like this. Straight line. صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And then he drew on the right lines like this. ثُمَّ خَطَّ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ خُطُوطًا وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ خُطُوطًا. ثُمَّ تَلَا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he drew the straight line. He put the lines on the left and on the right like this, and then he said, "This is my straight path. Follow it and do not follow the other path, or they will take you away from my straight path." The path is only one. This is the straight path. The path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the straight path. The path that him and his companions were upon. And many, many narrations is indicating this. Many, many narrations is indicating this. The obligation of being upon this straight path. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called to. And this is what his companions, they called to. From the very beginning of the Quran likewise is the obligation of following the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can see this. This is the ijtima', and this is where many people, they claim, we have, let's be united. There's many calls of ijtima'. There's many claims, any jama'ah, al-jama'ah, al-sunnah wal-jama'ah. Even there's people, any there's Sufis, and they claim Ahl-Sunnah wa-Jama'ah. Then there's other people, they're completely deviant, but then they claim Ahl-Sunnah wa-Jama'ah, and they have the deviation in these usul. Maybe you'll find some of them have some tawheed, but when you come to this ijtima', they're not upon this ijtima'. Or they claim to be upon ijtima', but then if it comes to the issue of the next principle with the rulers, you find that they're not obeying the rulers. So in reality, these principles here is the clarification of how a Muslim will live his life. And there's no way in reality for the first fundamental to be actualized in reality and to be applied properly except with ijtima'. Because whenever there is ijtima' and there's unification, whenever the people are united, then they are able to have harmony and they are able to have peace, and the masajid can be ma'mura and they can be established, and the people can worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, and the deen can spread because of the unification and the love that is between the believers and the likes like this. Whenever the division comes, on the other hand, the ikhlas becomes weak and the deen becomes weak, and shaitan is able to take over, and the enemies are able to take over. And this is an old trick. This is nothing new. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Divide them. Divide the Muslims. That's one great intent from shaitan and the enemies of Islam. And to divide the people of the sunnah is even greater for them. An intent to divide the people of the sunnah. Now, so the order to be united, this is a fundamental principle. And this is a means to actualize al-ikhlas. And this is a means that will aid the ikhlas to be established in the land. And for the ikhlas and the tawheed to be established in the heart of the believers, in the hearts of the believers, because of their unification upon this tawheed. And because of the unification. And the thing that, the sign that they are united is that they are upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the companions. And the way of the companions. So from the very beginning of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's mentioning the obligation. Every single prayer a Muslim is making supplication. An obligation for every Muslim to recite that is of the proper age and same 17 times a day bare minimum to ask to be upon the straight path. Ihdina siratan mustaqim. This is the way to unification. So in reality, we're asking to be unified. We're asking for unification, to be upon the way of unification. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. If somebody were to say, okay, what is the reality of the sirat al-mustaqim? What is it? Allah Azza wa Jal. After that, he clarifies. Sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim. It's the path of those who you have bestowed your blessings upon. And then if someone were to say, again, who is that? Who are they? And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarified this in His book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, an amazing verse clarifying this. Who are? Al-ladhina an'ama Allahu alayhim. Man hum? Al-ladhina an'ama Allahu alayhim. Who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. These are the ones that will be in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His blessings upon. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And how great a company they are. So here in the Fatiha, we're asking to be upon the straight path, and we're asking to be upon the way of those who Allah has bestowed His blessings upon, and they are the prophets, and the truthful, and the martyrs, and the righteous. And the leader of the prophets is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the leader of the martyrs are the Khulafa al-Rashidin. Except the Siddiq is Abu Bakr, and then the Shuhada is the rest of the Khulafa, like this, in this manner. And then other of the companions likewise, Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, was Sumayya the first, radiyallahu anha, or radiyallahu anhum jameen, the first shaheed in Islam. So this is the case, we're asking to be upon their way. This is indication of the obligation of following the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. He said, if they believe, meaning the people of the time of the Prophet, if they believe in the likes of what you believe in, and you and your companions, then they will be guided. There are many verses in the Quran with the obligation of following the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To be united is to be united upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the understanding of his companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has praised the companions greatly in the Quran, mentioning the obligation that no one can have the pleasure of Allah except by following their way. The rida of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. Allah is pleased with an individual cannot occur except by following them, following their way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. نعم, السابقون الأولون, the first and foremost, من المهاجرين والأنصار, from the مهاجرين, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, from the believers, والأنصار, those who aided and supported the Prophet and the مهاجرين صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever they migrated from, and they're from Medina, right? And then what did he say? والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned three groups in this noble verse. Three groups of people, these are the people that have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's no, the fourth group, there's no fourth group. The fourth group is finished. The one who wants to obtain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has to be from one of these three groups. Can he be from, can we be from the muhajirun? No, radiyallahu anhum, they already passed. Can we be from the ansar? Not possible, not possible. So they already passed, radiyallahu anhum. What's left, the only other option? وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, those who followed them. بِإِحْسَان, أي بِالْإِتْقَان وَبِالْصِدْق, يعني in reality, properly. They followed them perfectly. Not in how much, but in the manner. We can't follow the companions in how much they worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and how much that the deeds that they have, but in the manner that they worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the manner that they believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the manner that they applied their religion. Damn? So if we see this verse, it indicates the virtue of the companions first. We see. How is that? The three groups of people that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with, two-thirds of them are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two-thirds of those radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Two-thirds of those who have obtained the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or will obtain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's only one-third left. If you have a pie like this, you cut it in two-thirds, all is for the companions, the pleasure of Allah. The only opportunity anybody has left after them is to be from that last third. And they are those who follow the companion. They are those who followed them. So not only are they two-thirds of those who earn the pleasure of Allah, but no one will gain the pleasure of Allah except by following them. Because of this, we see at Imam Ahmed, we know the status of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 241. He has a great book called Usul al-Sunnah. He began this work. He said, Usul al-Sunnah indana, the fundamentals of the Sunnah with us, التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والاقتداء بهم. الله أكبر. Who is Imam Ahmed? رحمه الله, Imam Ahl Sunnah. Nobody would doubt in his knowledge and in his understanding of the fundamentals of the deen and of the subsidiary issues of the deen entirely. He's a great scholar, from the greatest of the ulama of the Salaf, in hadith and in fiqh. We all know, what are the fundamentals of this deen? Where is it derived from? Al-Qur'an wa Sunnah. And the understanding of the Sahaba. Huh? Like this, the Qur'an and the Sunnah, then we have Ijma', which is from the Sahaba. And then we have Qiyas al-Sahih. Right? So this is the case. This is the means. This is the sources of the religion of Islam. Al-Qur'an wa Sunnah. But Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, he didn't begin the foundations of the sunnah. The foundation of the deen with us is the Quran and the sunnah. And he said the foundations of the sunnah with us, التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب النبي, to hold fast to what the companions of the Prophet were upon sallallahu alaihi wasallam, والاقتداء بهم, and to take them as role models. Why is that? Is he just throwing the first two principles out? The Qur'an and Sunnah, don't follow that, but just follow that. Because they're the ones who follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The ones who follow the Qur'an truthfully and in reality, the ones who follow the Sunnah truthfully and in reality, they're the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ones who are upon Tawheed and Sunnah, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum. In reality, this Qur'an and this Sunnah, it came to us by way of them. They witnessed his revelation and they transmitted it to the people. So they're the ones that were upon the true understanding of this deen. They're the ones who witnessed the revelation. They're the ones who learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the understanding of the book. They're the ones who learned the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. So then to understand the way they understood is a must and is an obligation. So yes, of course, the fundamentals of the deen are the Quran and the sunnah. No doubt about that. But how do you understand them? You have to hold fast to what the companions were upon. You have to take the companions radiallahu anhum as an example. This is the understanding of this great imam, Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. He began in this manner. The true sunnah, the true deen is to follow the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to take them as an example. And this is the means to be upon ijtima'. This is a means to be upon unification. There's no other way to unification except in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned us in many narrations. He warned us of the division that will occur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned us of the differing that will occur and that the division that will occur. And he mentioned that the obligation, the way out from that is to hold fast to his sunnah and the sunnah of his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith Irbal al-Asadi radiallahu anhu, من يعيش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. That whoever lives after me, then he's going to see much differing. But he's not just informing us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can know. This is not just information. Whoever lives after me, he's going to see a lot of differing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the way out after that. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّشِدِينَ تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعْضُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ. He said, hold fast. So you have to hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa. Hold fast to it and bite onto it with your molar teeth. This is likewise an indication. It would have been easy for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to hold fast to my sunnah. Hold fast to my sunnah. He said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. He said, تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا. He didn't say, تَمَسَّكُوا بِهِمَا. Like they're two different sunnahs. He didn't say, hold fast to both of them. وَعَضُوا عَلَيْهِمَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ. He didn't say that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hold fast to both of them. You must hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. And when he referred to them in singular form because it's one sunnah. It's not a different sunnah. It's not a different sunnah. So to hold fast to the way of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is to hold fast to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To hold fast to the way of Umar radiallahu anhu is to hold fast to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent that there's a great tabi'i, his name is Abu Aliya. Rahimahullah, he died in like 94 or 95, 93 or 94 or 95. In this area right here, before 100 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was asked about the straight path. What is the straight path? Abu Ali rahimahullah, what did he say? He said, As-sirat al-mustaqim huwa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sahibahu min ba'dihi. Wa sahibahu min ba'dihi. He said, the straight path. What is the straight path? He said, it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his two companions after him, Abu Bakr wa Umar. And this is the straight path. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar. This is his understanding of the straight path. This is his understanding of the straight path. The Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, like this. There are other narrations likewise. Authentic. For example, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he is asked about saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the beginning of the Fatiha. What did he say? Anas ibn Malik. From the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Medina. He was a servant with him, living with him and serving him. Well, inshallah, after the adhan, we'll continue. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was asked about reciting al-basmalah in the beginning of the Fatiha and Salat. Do you say, whenever you begin Salat, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim aloud, or do you begin with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? And this man, this question was given to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And from this narration, we see the understanding. This is a companion who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day he came to Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas' mother, she gave him as a servant. take him as a servant, so that he can learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, benefit the Prophet likewise benefit from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very smart mother radiallahu anha. So the case is, he lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, doing chores for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's very aware of the Sunnah radiallahu anhu, Anas ibn Malik. He's asked about this issue. What did he say? He said, "Sallaytu khalfa an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa Abi Bakr wa Umar wa kulluhum yastaftihuna bilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen." This is his understanding, the understanding of Anas ibn Malik. Whenever he's asked about this, he said, "I prayed behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I prayed behind Abu Bakr, and I prayed behind Umar radiallahu anhuma, and both on all of them, they begin with alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen." So, but not looking at the fiqh issue. The point is not to look at the fiqh issue here. The point is to look at the understanding of this, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It would have sufficed him, sah, to say that I prayed behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He recited like this, but he wants to teach. He's a teacher. Whenever he is giving the fatwa, he is clarifying the reality. I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum, all of them, they began like this. And this is his evidence for his statement and his belief and for his fatwa, like this in his answer for this person. So we see the understanding of the companions is the understanding of the companions. Allahu Akbar. And this companion, his understanding is the understanding of the companions. So this is not a new idea. Brother, this is ijtima' fi deen. نعم أمر الله عز وجل بالاجتماع في الدين ونهى عن التفرق فيه. This is the second principle. The author is mentioning this is a great principle, and that first principle cannot be realized and actualized and applied except by being unified. And whenever the people are truly upon Tawheed rightfully, then they will be unified. They will be unified. At Tawheed, if it enters a person's heart, it would remove everything. Ikhlas, it would remove all of the falsehood. It would destroy all of the darkness, and the light would come, and he would see the true tawheed that is required and requested from Allah Azza wa Jalla, that is demanded from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, his obligation and his right. At tawheed, alladhi huwa haqqullahi ala al-abid. This right of Allah Azza wa Jalla, whenever it enters the heart, all darkness goes away, all ignorance goes away. Knowing who Allah is by His names and His attributes, knowing His right, hoping and desiring in Him, putting a trust and reliance in Him, fearing Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and striving to please Him. When the people are united upon this, by following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ways of the companions, this is whenever the ummah will rise again. And this is the means for success. And this is the means for savior. And this is the straight path. That's why we repeat again, the al-ijtima' fi deen, this is the second principle. There's a way. There's a way to be united. Unification in the religion is the second fundamental principle of these six principles. There's a way. What way is that? Sirat al-mustaqim. The only way to be united is to be upon the sirat al-mustaqim. There's a sign to tell who's on the sirat al-mustaqim or not. There's a sign to know who is on the straight path. What is that sign? Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they had a call, propagation and da'wah. What did they call to? They called to the straight path, and they warned from being deviated from the straight path. They called to the straight path, and they warned from being deviated from the straight path. Like this straight path that has a masdar, it has a source where it comes from. What is it? Quran and the Sunnah. Like there's a resource that's referred back to anytime there is any division and how to understand this or differing. These Quran and Sunnah, it has to have a reference point. Because he says Quran, Sunnah, I say Quran, Sunnah, they say Quran, Sunnah, people they hold hands, who, Quran, Sunnah. This one gonna go put a belt and blow up the masjid, Quran, Sunnah. What's the marji' for the reality? The understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who followed them will continue tomorrow, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.